So we know there's been a DOJ bipartisan cover-up for now almost 20 years of what was happening with Epstein, the Mossad, MI6, CIA operative, and the huge honeypot operation he was running that he took over from Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell. He also worked for former Attorney General's dad at the girls' school, Barr.
Bill Barr's father, Donald Barr, was the mentor to Jeffrey Epstein. He was literally, was a student of Bill Barr's dad.
The emails we have, the millions of them, are so damning. The cannibalism, the sex slavery, the genetic engineering.
There's girls that were there that testified that he had rooms as big as this room right now that were filled with servers and computers and monitors that were recording all that footage that he had, and not only on the island, but in New York, the Zora Ranch, everywhere.
He on had a plane,
cameras.
The plane was rigged and everywhere.
Where's all that footage?
I can't tell you.
Really?
Yeah. It has to be the right time, the right day.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry to put a legendary Mossad assassin on the hot seat. But if I was to guess, do you think I would guess right?
Probably. That's why we shouldn't talk about
okay.
it right now.
All right.
And if you look at satellite photos of it and drone photos, you can see the snorkels that come up around the house and 100 yards out from it or so. Those, you don't have those big concrete air vents for structures that don't have things under them.
I will tell you the search took 11 days to actually, drone out the whole entire property. So that tells you what a vast property this was and how large it was.
So we were told the feds went in with cadaver searching dogs and went in with ground penetrating radar. And now we learn none of that was true. The feds did a deal in 2019 when Trump was first in his first administration to let them run the investigation, but that they would then give the state their findings. They haven't done that.
In the Epstein files, one document describes an April 2020 account given to the FBI in Albuquerque from someone whose name is redacted and makes the unsubstantiated claim that one of Epstein's Zorro Ranch victims was raped and became pregnant before the baby was then sacrificed and buried at the Christ United Methodist Church near Albuquerque. We reached out to the FBI Public Affairs Office in Albuquerque and asked if the FBI investigated or followed up on the reported claim, and if so, what were the findings? In an email, the office responded, "We have no comment at this time."
We know from a tip back in 2019 that was never investigated that there was an allegation that two women were buried on the public leased land there. And so we are still waiting for that part of the investigation to be open.
Were human remains found? Were they not found?
I can't tell you if they were or weren't found, but I guess what I would say is, let's say cadaver dogs did not find anything. It doesn't change the fact that there maybe still could be something there.
These images of Zorro Ranch taken in the early 2000s were given to EWTN News by a former worker at the ranch. Former workers told us they would agree to speak about their time at Zorro Ranch if the New Mexico Truth Commission called on them to testify.
They need to be reached out to, preferably by law enforcement, but they will play, I think, a big role in what may or may not have happened at the ranch.
As we continue to formally commence this subcommittee, subpoenas will very likely be issued for those that do not want to voluntarily come forward and speak to us as a subcommittee.
Fundamentally, we need Todd Blanche and the United States Department of Justice to stop stonewalling this agency. It's been 173 days since we first asked for unredacted access to the complete Epstein files, and we still don't have that access, despite repeated assurances from Mr. Blanche, Jay Clayton, and others that they would cooperate with this investigation and help us move things forward so we could try and hold people accountable here in New Mexico.
Specifically, the main thing that this new bill does that we've introduced is forces the U.S. Attorney General to cooperate with state attorneys general that want to prosecute Epstein co-conspirators under state law. And it turns out in New Mexico, that's where the Zorro Ranch was. You hear a lot about Epstein Island. You hear right. almost nothing about Zorro Ranch. But it was expansive. It was massive. People were going there all the time. Crimes were committed there. And some of those aren't barred by statute of limitations. And so the Attorney General in New Mexico would like to prosecute those crimes. And so we're making it easier with this bill. That's one of the things it does.
The DOJ tells us that there's no human trafficking and nothing happened and Epstein killed himself. ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazole, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazole is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazole studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Find those links there, links to the show, links to all the articles, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Of course, some results from the primaries that were held yesterday. Some surprises and some questionable results. But the Democrats, normal and insane, I guess all Democrats are corporate and progressive, maybe that might be another way of putting it, are both just insane and evil and off the rails. We're going to talk about late-term abortion today. That'll be fun. Then we actually are going to have fun because we're going to be joined by Brandon Straka later in the show. We're going to talk about the future of the Republican Party, conservative politics, the rift, the divide, the MAGA slash America First divide, what it portends for the future of this country. Some results from yesterday. David Crowley pulls off stunning comeback victory over Francesca Hong. So yes, folks, the Hong is over. It's done. We don't have to think about her anymore. We don't have to look at her anymore. We can all breathe a sigh of relief. And we can all say thank you to the Democrats for cheating to make this possible, because it certainly looks like they did, which is very interesting, which means at this point, I'm pretty sure Democrats are doing more to stop the far left than the Republicans, because there are some very strange inconsistencies with the results of the election yesterday. Some very inexplicable occurrences that we'll show you in just a second, which means that Francesca Hong, the insufferable anti-white Chinese lady who was running for that office and was apparently going to, you know, 90%. She was the, you know, Hillary Clinton of this go around, 90% victory chance, and then gets blown out of the water. Is that because the polls were off, or is that because there were some shenanigans going on in the background? I say shenanigans, which, again, you got it. You know, what does this mean? What does this mean exactly? I'll give you the down low here. David Crowley just pulled off a victory in Wisconsin's Democrat primary for governor on Tuesday. That was both a stunning upset and an unheard of comeback, defeating the field's front runner with a Hail Mary effort in the final weeks of the race that was seen as a test of whether new Democratic Socialist victories in deep blue states could be replicated in Midwestern battlegrounds. Crowley defeated Francesca Hong by less than half of a percentage point in an election outcome that none of the statewide polls predicted. In every survey, including one Crowley's campaign paid for, Hong carried a double-digit lead into the race. Crowley was declared the winner by the AP early Wednesday, August 12th, after a series of reporting delays in Milwaukee, Winnebago, and Greene counties. If the slim margin in unofficial results holds, it could be within the 1% threshold at which Hong could request a recount at the campaign's expense. Quote, David is ready to get back to work, build a broad coalition, and win in November, the Crowley campaign said. Tuesday's election outcome underscored the popularity of Governor Tony Evers. Crowley's win also delivers a loss to the DSA, Democratic Socialist Movement, which has seen victories in New York, Colorado and Michigan. Hong's loss came after a state representative spent more than a week being the subject of national scrutiny and criticism over her past media post, social media post, that called to abolish police and criticized holidays. Well, no, criticized Thanksgiving because she's anti-white. She didn't just hate holidays. She hates white people. Crowley and Evers spent the last month of the race crisscrossing the state, arguing Hong could not beat Tiffany in a general election environment, in part because of those posts. So she basically congratulated Crowley and said she would fully support him and has accepted his victory. But we can go now to clip number 22 here, because there were some irregularities blamed on human error. And once again, you know, this is a very interesting, there's a very interesting thing happening right now. A lot of people are focusing on the MAGA divide. There is obviously an equivalent divide on the Democrat Party. They treat it differently because the Democrats tend to embrace their radicals and shrug off the things they say and make excuses for them. So the way it's playing out looks very different, but it's no less severe, this division in the Democrat Party, from the elite corporate establishment Democrats and the quote unquote grassroots DSA style progressive Democrats. And we've seen this before, right? We saw this with Bernie Sanders. Only back then, you know, the media was entirely on the side of Hillary Clinton, covering up her obvious. I mean, do y'all remember that? It was one of the craziest times of my life, I feel, is before I was working here, watching the Republican and the Democratic National Conventions in 2016. I saw some of the craziest things I've ever seen, one of which, well, the whole Democratic National Convention, the tricks they were pulling to try to silence Bernie Sanders supporters, literally playing like white noise to drown out the protesters, or training their Hillary supporters to start chanting USA, USA whenever the Bernie Sanders, and just, you could actually just see the orchestration. You could see the way it was all playing out. You could see the way in which the people who stood up to protest the results, knowing that Bernie was screwed, were like black bagged and just like rushed off. And in the middle of Hillary's acceptance speech, you'd see her sort of glare at the protesters before the chants would come up. And I mean, you could just actually see, like, this is the anatomy of a stolen election. Of course, the same thing they did with Ron Paul in 2012. So, you know, this is nothing new. However, the media landscape is different now. The political impetus is actually behind the DSA. So I think really what will be interesting is observing left-wing media, who tends to be more radical and more left-wing than the establishment Democrats. However, they're still very much in bed with and on the team of the establishment Democrats. So they're going to be trying to sort of deal with this and give cover to the establishment Democrats, while in their hearts knowing that the actual results are being manipulated. But also, they've spent the last 10 years or 5 years at least telling us that elections can't be stolen and you're a deranged conspiracy theorist, white supremacist for saying so. So it's going to be interesting seeing how we move forward, how they deal with what I consider to be the fact that the Democrat Party is not above rigging their own elections to get establishment characters over the more populist and popular, you know, progressive extremists. It's going to be a very interesting thing to observe. Let's go now to clip 22. This is from End Wokeness. Milwaukee says, due to human error, 5 out of 9 USBs were missing election results. Interesting.
There are two things. There's the audit log and the results. What we uncovered was that 5 of the sticks had the audit log downloaded and not the results. It's a human error. These things can happen. So basically what we need to do is go back to the operations center and we're going to download out of those 5 machines the results and make sure that it's not the audit log.
Okay. It's a little confusing. The audit log, but not the votes. Okay. And this really was confusing, and it made for a very awkward broadcast on NBC towards the end of the night. Clip 37 here. NBC ended its live coverage of this Wisconsin Democrat primary as Milwaukee County officials announced a tabulation error in the election data. 5 out of 9 USB sticks with the absentee ballot results contained only audit logs rather than the actual vote. Here's NBC trying to deal with this and express this and handle this. Let's watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. Let's look at it this way. We're kind of indefinitely waiting for them to get their act together here and get the sticks and bring them back and go on. And we've got folks here who are working real late, and I don't think we want to, you know, keep them here to, this could go 90 minutes, and it's 90 minutes of me saying, have you heard of any other athletes running for Congress? I know we've come so far here. It's been 4 hours since polls closed. It's been an unbelievably interesting and intense night here, and it really is coming down to this one giant, you know, update in Milwaukee. But man, we waited 90 minutes for them. They did this whole procession, and then they find out there's nothing on the sticks. So it's just my way of saying that I'm just trying to say the audience here, so I'm not abruptly ending on them, just why we're doing this, because the audience has been with us for 4-6 hours in some cases for this moment that didn't happen. And so folks, I think we are going to wrap it here for the reasons we're saying here, just, but I,
this
I just,
is terrible.
I want you to know, I hate,
I'm sorry. This is just awful.
You know, doing this to you. Cause we
get it out, buddy.
I know you're here for results, and yep, we've come to the point where it's like,
okay,
one thing
so
away.
There are no results. Thanks for telling us we can move on. Right. I mean, that's, the clip goes on for another like minute and a half. I'm not going to make you sit through it. Clearly they don't know what the hell's going on, but don't you get a sense of like, he knows something's not right. Can't quite say what it is. He's still going. He's up here on the screen right here. He's smiling now for some reason, like an idiot. I just get used to it, okay? Just get used to this, all right? Just get used to it. I know you're used to a world, you grew up in a world where election results were uncontested and arrived at that day, where these types of silly little mistakes that delay everything never really happened. But you can extrapolate this to the world around you, to the little things that used to just be taken care of and now aren't being taken care of. Things that used to happen quickly, happening just a little bit slower. Things that you never thought about because they just worked, now you're going to have to think about because they're not going to work anymore. I really just see this as indicative of the overall collapse. It's like, are we going to turn communist? Maybe we already did, because we can't even figure out how to hold the election to elect the communists. Like, we're in this weird sort of proto-collapse stage where we're still trying to upkeep the old forms, but we just don't quite have the human capital capable of doing it. So just, you know, don't get used to this. Earlier I said get used to it, but actually the truth is we should not be getting used to this. And I can't help but just see this everywhere. And honestly, I got to give a shout out, you know, I got to, you know, praise President Trump for his beautification of like Washington, D.C. and stuff. And there really is a normalcy bias where you just accept collapse and you have to remind yourself not to accept collapse. Like, it just never occurred to me that the fountains could be on. just the fountains didn't work. That's what they're there. They sort of seem like they once held water, but I'd never seen water in them in my life. Never expected to. Didn't even think it was weird that there was no water in the fountains. It's just like, yeah, what you expect us to be able to keep water in the fountains? You know, you got to clean the pipes. Somebody's got to run that stuff. And I feel like we've allowed the collapse to happen for a very long time, sort of unwittingly. So we just don't notice that it's happening. And I'm sorry to do this to you, because if you actually am listening to what I'm saying, you actually start thinking about this, you're actually going to see it all over the place, absolutely everywhere, all the time. I can't help it. Anytime I'm like, earlier this week when I was in the Uber going to Dallas airport, which, you know, is like one of the biggest airports in the world. It's got like a dedicated train system just to get from terminal to terminal. It's like unimaginably huge. And yet, as you're driving up to it, this extremely sophisticated, high-tech, fancy airport, it's like every banister, every, you know, guardrail on the side of the highway is just broken and twisted and kind of fallen over. And every billboard is like half collapsing. And it's just like, you know, this is the type of stuff that it's a signal for what's actually happening. It's a symptom. It's the little skin lesion that doesn't go away that turns out you're riddled with cancer underneath the skin, right? It's these little things that just sort of go by the wayside because you're incapable of dealing with like the big overwhelming things. And again, this might seem small, but like I just want to remind everyone, like, this is not normal. This was never normal. But it's just become a thing now, and we just cannot have an election where you just know the results. Something happened, you know? I guess you can speculate as to what it was. I guess you can go back to 2000 and talk about the hanging chads. I mean, maybe this has been a condition for longer than you expect if you actually start thinking about it. But it just seems like, you know, 2020 and the mail-in ballots just sort of made elections impossible in this country. You just can't tell who's actually winning. The mail-in ballot results are just completely different than the in-person results, which, like, what is the explanation for that? Why is that the case? It shouldn't be. There's no fundamental difference in, like, the philosophy of people who choose to vote by mail versus go in. Like, why should that be sufficient? You know, it's like, well, you know, 90% of the mail-in ballots were for candidate A, but 90% of the in-person were for candidate B. It doesn't make any sense. You have to have an explanation for that. There has to be a reason for that. My reason for that is because you can cheat with mail-in ballots and there's no way to tell. So it's become incredibly easy. So it's just in my lifetime, we've gone from knowing the results that day, voting on paper. I remember going with my parents and just watching them freaking fill it out with a pen, handing it to the person, tabulated like it used to. It was simple. It was clean. People may have had questions, but it got resolved pretty quick. To, it's going to take a week and a half to get results. Even then, the results are going to be inexplicable, just like I explained, with either the mail-in ballots are completely off or they're just totally out of whack with every single poll that was done before and just questionable on the face of it, or just examples of vote totals that are higher than the number of voters registered. And we just accept this, I guess. We just go, oh, this is just the new normal. We're just going backwards. We're just becoming less efficient, less capable, less able to do this stuff. Kind of sucks, but we really shouldn't accept it. Here's the impossible thing that I can't get anybody to do ever. It's not that complicated. Just in a metaphorical sense, if you start in one condition, that's good. And then something happens, and then that condition deteriorates. It gets worse. The voting used to be efficient and fast, and we had results that day, and they weren't exactly all that questionable. Something happened. Now we're in a point where results take forever, and we don't know who wins, and every result is going to be challenged, and every mail-in ballot is potentially falsified, and there's very little way of actually determining who's really casting a vote and for what. Plus, you've got AI now in the mix with AIPAC and these Jewish groups running AI ads showing Thomas Massie on a date with AOC and Ilhan Omar that genuinely convinced old boomers that are unaware of the ability of AI and actually thought that was real footage, something's happened. So you take that middle part and you identify what the thing is that happened, and then you undo that thing. Let me explain it again, okay? Because this goes over, this is a very complicated idea. If you go from a good situation to a bad situation, you identify what the change is and you address or undo that change. If this sounds simple to you, I want to ask, why are we not able to apply this to literally anything else? Like, if you have a pretty low crime rate and then you defund the police and then you have a high crime rate, the solution is not a panopticon with flock cameras on the corner. Like, do you see what I mean? For some reason, we never go, okay, there's been a negative change. Let's look at the cause and then undo the cause. Every time there has to be some new law written or, you know, office created to create a whole new set of problems instead of dealing with the problem that we had. Again, I mean, the whole show is like this. Everything we deal with is like this, which is why I feel like we all feel insane. I feel insane. I feel completely insane because everybody else is genuinely insane. And the cycle I go through is I see stuff like this and I'm like, okay, we got this retarded socialist woman who hates her own son. She's probably getting defeated by the establishment Democrats. The Democrats are probably cheating because they keep cheating and nobody ever, you know, pays the price for it. And I'm kind of like, this is funny. This is just like, you might as well laugh at the absurdity of all of this and how everything is getting worse and nobody seems to notice or be able to identify the causes of that going crazy. And you think it's kind of funny until you read about the late term abortions and you see the videos of the late term abortions being carried out. And it's a reminder that this isn't funny at all. We are literally being driven insane by the most evil people in the entire world so they can do the most abjectly evil things you could ever possibly imagine, like rip apart living babies the minute before they're to be birthed naturally. And it's like, there's a connection here. I think we're in spiritual conflict, at spiritual war. And I think there's a very distinct connection between everybody being utterly insane and not being able to tell the truth and not being able to be competent or straightforward or honest about anything, and just the undercurrent, the bubbling up of this just sickening, seething evil of just the stuff that you see every day, women getting their heads cracked open on the sidewalk and babies being ripped apart by tongs and just the influx of migrants just grinning, yellow teeth, yellow eyes, just like drawing their fingers across the neck. And it's just like, yeah, there's a connection here. There's obviously a connection here. I mentioned it a little bit on Monday, but as I was doing research last week into just like conspiracy theories as a concept, like you come to some pretty uncomfortable conclusions in that if you look at what their goals seem to be and what the outcome they seem to desire, there are ways to achieve it without being sickeningly evil. So then you see all the sickening evil stuff and you go, this isn't even necessary. They don't need this. It would actually be easier for them to achieve their goals if they weren't like this. So there's something else motivating them. It's not just about power. It's not just about money. It's not just about control. There's something else motivating this. Just like women who think that abortion just like, you know, gives women a choice. Something else is required to kill a 9-month-old.
New grape flavor bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now. The all-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. Globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back! packed with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast for the resistance. Get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. Well, the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, you're your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Vaughn too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Who took the bomb?
Back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, reporting on the leftist takeover of America that is happening. Because once again, our victory in the election of 2024 didn't really mean anything. Like, would have been nice to see some major aggressive movements in the first half of Trump's administration. It's not going to be happening in the second half. And if these midterm results are any indication, it's going to be a very difficult 2.5 years moving forward for the Republican Party. We're going to talk to Brandon Straka of the Walk Away Movement about what that means and what the Republicans can do to try to win back some support, because we need them to actually be a effective bulwark against the rising tide of communism, which is like the most dangerous threat we've ever faced at this point. Especially the way that things are going. I got so many videos to illustrate all this. Let's go to clip 35 first. In the third worldification of our cities, We now have Zoran Mamdani, the mayor, and I've never liked this. I always think this is such a ridiculous charade when the mayor or the president or somebody is out actually doing physical labor. We've got like the congressman or the senator in their little orange vest picking up trash on the side of the road. Like, I do it too. I get in here and get to work. And it's like, we don't need you. You're a billionaire. Why don't you hire 10,000 people to do this instead of do a little game? The crew just asked like McDonald's. That was different. That was different because that was Trump just having fun. That was Trump mocking Kamala Harris because Kamala Harris was caught lying about working at McDonald's. And so Trump went to work at McDonald's as a big goof, as a big joke. That I like. This I'm down with. What I don't like is the performance, like when Donald Rumsfeld on September 11th is out there clearing rubble from the Pentagon. And it's like, yeah, you have better things to be doing, sir. Actually, you are like the highest level of our military strategy in America. You need to actually be strategizing and communicating and coordinating with the, you know, parts of the government that are taking care of this. We don't need you doing manual labor right now, sir. So I've never liked that. Look, I'm telling the crew right now, you either got to hook your mic up so it's going out live, or you got to stop saying things to me because I can't. You got to just hook yourself. I want you just to hook yourself up so people can actually hear you, which I've been asking for. And I'd like that to be the case. So we've got Zoran Mamdani, czar of New York, out here fixing a water fountain, I guess, in this stupid publicity stunt, which, as a shredded nerd on X says, in an actual functional society, you can just expect things to work. One guy turns up to fix something as soon as it breaks. Having five dudes and the mayor turn up for a Photoshop is actually how the third world operates, which is exactly right. Let's go to clip 35 now. So here we go. Yeah, looks like a government job to me. Five guys not exactly suited for the work, trying to figure out how to do it. Got the manager there observing it all. And Zoran Mamdani himself, look at that. He's such a normal guy, just like you and me. You know, he's just another Nepo baby Ugandan prince like you and I, doing the physical labor that we've all done all our lives. Let's see, how good is he at doing this? And he's, of course he's in a suit. Of course. I wish we had a better angle. I feel like that was a strategic angle. And I feel like this is an important, I mean, you know, might seem trivial to some people, but like you really can tell a lot about people by how they turn a wrench or swing a hammer. You know what I mean? You ever see Dave Portnoy try to swing a hammer? Dude's clearly never done it in his life. It's hilarious. Or like other, I'm thinking, or you got the, whoever the guy was. I mean, just like presidents often fall into this trap. They like try to look manly by doing something like this, but they're just like, my hammer's broken or something. Nail's not going in. It's like, yeah, dude's never actually done any physical labor. I seriously doubt Zoran Mamdani's ever actually done physical labor. I think it matters personally. And again, we don't need to belabor the point, but when everything is going fine, you can then focus on the little details. You can then do the things that are optional, right? I always think back, I cannot help it. I'm sure if you've listened to the show, you've heard me say it before, but there was like a 10-second period that just runs through my mind like a cycle when I was in Japan and I saw a city worker, literally the man was on his hands and knees with like a toothbrush type object, scrubbing a single tile in the subway. You know why he was doing that? Because every other surface was clean. Everything else was fine. There were no pipes leaking to be fixed. There were no alarms going off. There was no graffiti on the wall. So when you look around, you go, well, gee, everything is perfect, but there is a scuff on that tile there. I guess I'll do that. I guess since everything else is wonderful, I guess I'll focus on like the little details. And once that's done, maybe I'll just like beautify things up a little bit. And you just think about the wasted energy, the wasted effort, the wasted time our society spends on babysitting third world barbarians that we're letting out of prison for the 100th time. Just $10,000 for a lawyer, holding him overnight. We got to provide him all this crap. And it's just like, how much stuff is going by the wayside because we're scrambling and playing catch up and just trying to fulfill the basic functions of government with a bunch of people who are just impossible burdens to deal with, provide nothing, and just cause a bunch of problems, which means everything else starts to collapse around us and people don't even really notice. Like, it'd be interesting just to go around, because it would be too much, right? Just from like my house to the studio, the drive, if I were to film everything that was wrong, everything that was just like, if you had a magic wand, the graffiti on the walls, the curbs that are chipped, the giant potholes everybody's got to swerve around to avoid, the blinking red lights because there's something wrong with the signal system. I mean, I could probably film 1,000 things between, you know, in the 1 mile between my house and the studio. And it's like, it doesn't need to be this way. We don't need to live like this. And this doesn't just happen. All these things we build, that just we allow to fall apart. We don't, we can maintain them. We just have to have time and energy and money to do it. And unfortunately, right now, we're spending all of that time and money on everything that doesn't matter. But let's get to the specifics here. Far left trans kids enthusiast Peggy Flanagan wins Minnesota U.S. Senate Democrat primary. Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, a progressive Democrat who previously wore a Protect Trans Kids shirt featuring a tactical knife and praised Democrats for voting against the Laken Riley Act, has won the Democrat primary for Minnesota's open U.S. Senate seat. Flanagan defeated Representative Angie Craig on Tuesday, marking another victory for the far left wing of the Democratic Party. She was backed by progressive Senator Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, as well as retiring Senator Tina Smith. Flanagan, a supporter of transgender activism, previously faced criticism over a photo showing her wearing a shirt bearing the words Protect Trans Kids alongside an image of a tactical knife. The image resurfaced amid scrutiny of a transgender activist merchandise featuring slogans alongside guns, knives, and other weapons. Other merchandise included the phrase such as trans rights or else alongside images of firearms. And unless I'm mistaken, I believe she was also one of the figures that, you know, was conspiring with other secretaries of state to rig the election against Donald Trump. I mean, she routinely appears in like the most embarrassing crap from the Democrats, including the images you just saw with Protect Trans Kids, because, you know, she's a progressive who's standing up against the patriarchy, obviously, who is outraged at the latent racism and misogyny in our culture, the Western American culture, but she is happy to voluntarily put on a hood not to offend the genuinely misogynistic culture of the Muslims, because these people don't actually believe anything. So there's that. And again, when Trump got elected and it was like, woke is dead and, you know, we won the culture war. And it's like, except DEI is still in place absolutely everywhere. The hiring practices that deliberately excluded white people in blatant contradiction to the, you know, equal rights clauses of the Civil Rights Act going completely unpunished. They're still actually seemingly maximizing their abortion push, doing things that they themselves even recognize and say are completely ridiculous and unnecessary. This is why it's sort of exhausting to talk about all of this. It's because, like, you can literally say to them, like, I'm against full-term abortion. And they will call you a conspiracy. They'll just be like, you are an idiot. Nobody wants that. Nobody is trying to do that, because they get it, because they know. They understand. A late-term abortion is just killing a baby. It's just killing a baby. It is absolutely no different, fundamentally. Physically, metaphysically, it is absolutely no different than killing a living baby. When you're killing a baby at 30-something weeks, you're killing a living child that could very easily survive outside of the womb. When you're talking about up to the moment of birth abortions, a woman can be in contractions about to give birth, and they will use metal tools to rip the baby apart piece by piece. It's so sick. It's so disgusting. And the Democrats know this. And so they will sit there and they will pass a law to allow full-term abortions while simultaneously claiming that nobody wants full-term abortions and that it's ridiculous to suggest that. This is where I'm just like, what do we do? Because I'm done. I don't want to talk about this anymore. We don't need to talk about it anymore. There's no debate, okay? If they had stayed in the realm of rare, safe, and whatever that they used to say, when they acknowledged that abortion was bad, but they still made the argument that it's a woman's choice and up to a certain point, the baby is not viable on its own. So therefore, they actually used to make that argument. The fact that they are now not just pushing for it, but are passing laws for late-term abortion, I think it's time to end the conversation. This is a 34-week baby outside the womb. And by the way, with the technology now, they have babies surviving at like 23 weeks, 22 weeks. I mean, honestly, don't even want to show you some of the videos because they are so genuinely horrifying. The tearing apart of, you know, literally tearing apart children while they are fighting back and trying to survive. It is beyond horrifying, but they celebrate this. They're happy about this. Now, of course, now they're happy about this. If you were to ask them 2 years ago about whether they would want late-term abortion, they respond in the same way that every human being would respond. Here's another 34-week-old baby. This baby, if it was in a different location, could be murdered in Massachusetts under their current law. But when Kamala Harris was running for president, she was asked about this, and her answer tells you everything you need to know. And again, I marvel at the ability of the media to transform people's minds. Yeah, a fully formed fetus in the womb is not a baby, but a man in a dress is a woman. Yeah, I mean, there's no logic to this. There's no explanation that suffices, and they even know this. Which, I mean, again, it's all just insane. Let's go to clip number 12 here. This is Kamala Harris being asked about late-term abortion when she was running for president in 2024. Let's watch.
They say that allows Democrats to perform abortions up until, you know, birth.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is not accurate.
And it's ridiculous, and it's a mischaracterization of the point. No, the point is, the point is,
we have precise.
I am being precise. We need to put into law the protections of Roe versus Wade, and that is about going back to where we were before the Dobbs decision.
But if there is the possibility through legislation to provide any kind of guarantee at the federal level, any kind of protection, like the Republican proposal of 15 weeks, protection.
The Republicans are also members of the Republican Party are also proposing a national ban. The thing that
I'm talking about, the Lindsey Graham bill, as you know, and those proposals of giving some access, though that's 15 weeks. Why do you think it shouldn't be specific? You know, out in New Mexico, for example, the governor there says it shouldn't be nailed down to a week because it should be a private matter between a woman and her doctor. There shouldn't be a precise number put on that. Is that what you believe as well?
I believe that we should put the protections of Roe v. Wade into law in the way that.
So again, what about abortion up till birth? Absolutely not. No way. That's ridiculous. That's one of these crazy things that the Republicans come up with to scare people because they're evil. Only now, that was 2 years ago. That was 2024. Now there are 10 states that do allow up to the moment of birth abortions. So again, what do you do about people like this? I can bring up the classic example of like vaccine passports, right? When we first said in early 2020, hey, they're going to set us up for vaccine passports, the reaction was the same as you saw there from Vice News and every leftist outlet. Vaccine passports, that's insane. That's crazy. There's no way. Because they get it. Because they understand. Because when they first hear it, they can't help but have the human reaction that goes, oh my God, no, absolutely not. That would be horrifying. And then something happens. I don't know what goes on in their minds. I don't know what twisted contortions happens in their souls. But 6 months later, they think you deserve to like die if you don't agree with vaccine passports. Same thing with abortion. Somehow it goes from late term abortion up to the moment of birth. That's disgusting. That's sick. We would never. To now, you hate women if you don't want to allow this. What are you supposed to do with people like this? They're unmoored. they're unworthy of consideration. Let's go to clip three here. Blue state, Massachusetts, just legalized abortion up to birth. Here's the governor signing the law, the lesbian governor signing it into law, surrounded by a bunch of shrieking harpies clapping and giggling at the fact that they can now literally murder babies. Let's watch.
Thank you.
They did it. Wow. Congratulations. So why, I mean, why do they want this? That's the question. Why would they want this? This obviously has nothing to do with, like, women don't know they're pregnant until later, because that would be an argument that people would make if you say, well, you know, abortion has to be by 6 weeks. They would say, well, by 6 weeks, a lot of women don't even know they're pregnant. So that's kind of unfair that the woman, by the time she realizes she's pregnant, it's too late for the abortion. It's got to be a little bit later than that. But there's no excuse. You're not carrying around a baby for 8.5 months, not knowing it, and then suddenly realizing and being like, oh no, I got to get into, no. So that's not happening, obviously. What type of person, imagine the woman that carries a living baby in her belly for 9 months and then has it sucked out through a vacuum tube and dismembered. You ever met a pregnant woman? It's not exactly a, you know, tumor they're carrying around. It is a living being. You can see their little footprints. You can interact with them. They have, like, their favorite music. They'll start dancing if you play certain things. Like, they are living beings. Imagine the type of person that feels a living being moving around their body for 8.5 months and then kills it, because those people exist and this law was just passed for them and them alone. So there are a couple things that are motivating this. None of them have to do with women's health. None of them have to do with freedom of association or freedom of choice or women's empowerment. They're as sickeningly evil as you can possibly imagine. The only one you could ever possibly justify in any way, however of a stretch it is, and like I'm saying this to make a point, is you can sell the body parts. You can sell the body parts. So a liver or an arm or a leg or an eyeball from a baby that's 9 months is going to be a lot more valuable than a fetus that's 6 months. So if you let them gestate until they're basically human, then you've sort of found a workaround of the fact that it's illegal to sell human body parts from human beings. So you just do it right before they're born, they cross that legal threshold to become a real human being, then you can sell their body parts legally. That's the only, like, rational explanation I could possibly come to as to why you would want, or why you would pass abortion up till birth. If you want to speculate a little bit less rationally, it probably has something to do with just the spiritual death it's causing. The horror itself is the point. Again, I don't exactly revel in showing you this stuff, but we can take a look at clip 27 here from Lila Grace Rose. This is a baby at 34 weeks. Unborn children this age are now dehumanized in Massachusetts and legally allowed to be slaughtered via abortion. Let's go ahead and roll that video.
And when was your due date?
And it was July, but this baby getting ready to come up out of here.
34 weeks. 29 here, another 34-week-old, looks like. Massachusetts just eliminated restrictions on abortions after 24 weeks, calling the ban arbitrary and harmful. Again, babies can survive at 22 weeks now. I have nephews and nieces that were born significantly before 34 weeks. Perfectly happy, perfectly healthy now. No problem at all. This is what they look like in the womb. And again, I don't know if you can tell, I'm kind of hesitating even getting to this next video. Viewer discretion advised. But this is what they legalized in Massachusetts. This is what they actually are now doing as a matter of course. legally in Massachusetts. Clip number 28. This is an abortion that was filmed. So you're actually seeing sort of a, you know, X-ray vision of the fetus literally trying to fight for its life and scramble to get away from the metal tools that are seeking it out, grabbing it and ripping it apart. This is the whole process of an induced abortion with ultrasound. And yeah, you can physically see it. Was that clip 28? Because there's a longer one as well. I don't even know if I want to play it, but there are long ones you can find. And so the question is, like, how did we get to this point? Like, what the hell is wrong with us? How did we get to this point? Why is everyone so utterly insane now to allow this type of crap? It genuinely is sickening. And I guess at a certain point, I just have to, like, take solace in just being like, I don't know. I don't even know. Everyone's retarded and evil. Is that even taking solace? Am I taking solace in something by saying, no, I'm pretty sure everyone's just retarded and evil, and that's like the only valid explanation I can come to? Of course, the good news is I have plenty of evidence for that claim that we can get to in just a little bit. But like this isn't a joke. I don't know. It's just not about, like, it's just, I don't know. It feels like politics are just something else now. This isn't about, like, where do we think our tax money should go? And I think we should build a new football field, but they think the high school needs a new gymnasium. And it's like, now it's like, okay, our government is hyperactively hyper-focused on just, like, selling out our birthright. Our entire relationship with our government is that between the abuser and the victim. We're just constantly having to organize and petition and beg, just please stop destroying us. Just stop deliberately ruining our lives. Stop ruining our neighborhoods. Stop selling out our birthright. Stop degrading the quality of life. Just please, for the love of God, just stop attacking us. And of course, they don't. It doesn't even work when we beg them. Or just like doing stuff like this, where they're literally patting each other on the back and clapping and high-fiving because they just allowed babies to be ripped apart piece by piece with metal tongs because the mom decided not to get an abortion for the 9 months that she could have. But it's the golden age, right? But it's the golden age, and hey, at least now we control the Strait of Hormuz, don't we? Apparently. That's what Trump says. So, you know, take solace in that. Nah, folks, we're losing, and we need to stop losing.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon. All of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.